When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I love that death because it's like they're driving into a twister. Yeah. And suddenly it's like, look out! It's like, what do you mean, look out?
Totally.
Isn't that where you want to go?
How good was the part when they drove through a house? Up the stairs, through the bedroom.
I think he shouts, I think we're going in. And then they go in.
That scene where she was trying to conduct a reproductive therapy session in the back of a car as they were driving towards a twister, and she didn't really understand. She also thought that chasing storms was a metaphor.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Flix Watcher. Joining us today, we have Arlie.
Hello.
Kate.
Hello.
And as always, Kobe.
Yo.
And we're here to review Twister.
Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello, film fans. Joining FlixWatcher remotely today, we have Arlie and Kate. If you could please tell her listeners a little bit more about who you are and the podcast you do, please.
I'm Kate Lever, journalist and author, and I've been working on a podcast with Arlie called Who's a Good Dog, which at the moment has its first season out, and it is 10 lovely, if I may say so myself, conversations about dogs. And guests include John Ronson, Phoebe Tonkin, Pragya Agarwal, and Tony Robinson.
Sir Tony Robinson.
It's Sir to, yes, Sir to me and to everyone else. Sir Tony Robinson.
So what, do you like dogs, Kate?
I'm privileged because I do actually live with the best dog in the world, which I know everyone says, but we were actually on Australian television to promote my book about dogs, and the strap line that they put with no prompting from me was world's best boy. So, and you can't really argue with Australian breakfast television, so I think it's official.
I was wondering if the best dog might make an appearance today, but no dog. Is he asleep?
Do you know what? He was here, and he was on his special pillow that I bought for him to sit next to me in my sort of working area. And then he had some opinions and he had to voice them downstairs. He ran off.
Flying right. Cows, get out.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just one cow.
Yeah, that's true. It's the same cow. Arlie, who are you?
Who am I? Oh, I ask myself every day. I am an audio producer. So, yeah, I've been working with Kate on Who's a Good Dog, basically the behind-the-scenes recording and editing person. And, yeah, I make podcasts and radio documentaries, things like a show called Vent Documentaries, which was the podcast of the year at the British Podcast Awards 2021. Braggy times.
Yes.
That's a few awards, right? Wasn't it three?
It did, yeah. It won, I think, Best Documentary, Smartest Podcast, and then the actual podcast of the year, which was a massive surprise.
Smartest podcast is a good one.
Yeah. I actually have that one in this room here with me. I managed to take that one home with me that day. So, yeah, I just work in audio, basically, making podcasts and bits of radio.
Awesome. And you chose Twister for us today. So can you tell us first of all why you chose it, and then I'll put a time.
Sure. I chose it because I love disaster movies just in general. And I think that Twister is my origin disaster movie because it's one of the films I saw as a kid that I've just always loved, like ever since I was a kid, and that I can just rewatch again and again. So I chose it because it's just one of my favourite films. So, and should I give you a synopsis?
Okay, starting now.
Okay, well, it's a film about a bunch of scientists who chase tornadoes because they're trying to study tornadoes because they want to increase the amount of warning that people can get. And there's an emotional origin story to why that's important to the characters. But they want people to be able to get more warning of tornadoes so that they're less likely to, you know, be hurt by a sudden thing. So they're trying to release some scientific equipment into the middle of a tornado so that they can make all these amazing measurements and learn about tornadoes. And Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton are in the middle of a divorce, or will they get divorced? We'll have to see what happens. Maybe they'll fall back in love in the process, and that is Twister.
Maybe, just maybe. Hey, where were you on Twister? Have you seen it before? What are your thoughts, initial thoughts on this rewatch or first time?
Well, I think it is exactly 24 hours since I finished Twister for the first time in my life. My first objection is that I did think it was about a single Twister. but yeah. Actually, in fact, there are many
Twisters.
Yeah, there are many. I also thought it was just sort of a bunch of normal people, including Helen Hunt in a very becoming singlet tank top, sort of being besieged by a natural disaster. But in fact, they chase these storms, and my advice to them would be to not. Every time they were driving towards a storm, I was like, guys, turn around, go home. those are my first impressions.
What about the scientific ping pong balls? I was
calling them science marbles, special sure. science marbles. I did really love, I almost gave up on it a few minutes in because I thought that they were going to suck a dog up into the sky in the opening scene. Yeah. And
I thought of you, Kate, when that scene was happening.
I was just rooting for Toby to get through. Spoiler for the first few minutes, he does.
Important to note this, like, dog peril avoided.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. There is another beautiful angel dog further along, and he or she she also survives.
Father peril was not avoided, which, I mean, I saw this in the cinema and I thought, holy shit, this is pretty tough. You see a dad flying off with a door.
Yeah. Well, but then, do you know, interestingly, I think after the dad flies off with the door, it's actually a surprisingly low body count in terms of people being sucked up into the twisters. And that surprised me. I was like, I don't like scary movies, and this is okay because Twister is not something that's going to come to me in my home in London. So I was able to sleep at night after I watched this film. But I was expecting more deaths in every scene, and especially because there was such a huge never-ending ensemble of vaguely recognizable 90s actors in, like, the cool Weather Marble fan club that followed Helen Hunt around the desert or whatever. I'm expecting all of them to get bumped off, and they all just hung around, even though they just chase storms for a living. It seemed mad. Ow! And I love the bad boy of the storm chasing world. Who was that handsome man from Princess Bride?
He stole Bill Paxton's idea.
Yes, and then but was punished for it.
Yeah, you say about there not being there isn't as much of a body count as you might expect, but I think we can all agree, luckily, that man does perish in a twister.
He got it. Yeah, he got it.
I felt a bit bad for his driver, who was impaled by a piece of, like, building or something. And he was actually the person you really got a kind of full face of his death.
Yeah.
And he was, like, basically an innocent bystander. He was just at work. Do you know what I mean?
I love that death because it's like they're driving into a twister. Yeah. And suddenly it's like, look out! It's like, what do you mean, look out?
Totally.
Isn't that where you want to go?
How good was the part where they drove through a house. There's a house in the way.
So good.
Up the stairs, through the bedroom.
I think he shouts, I think we're going in. And then they go in. My favourite bit is the bit, and this is on the topic of the great comedy of the film. My favourite bit is when Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt get caught in one of the many twisters that they are caught in during the film. And they are holding on to like this bridge or something, and they like make it through. And then one of the guys runs up to them and goes, how was it? Because obviously they're all kind of perverts about twisters, and they're all like really turned on by it. And he's like, how was it? And she's like, windy. Such a good line.
I love the nonsense of this film, because there's bits where they're just holding on. It doesn't look like particularly holding them for their dear life. They're just holding on to a post and the car gets taken up. The car gets taken up, smashed down, bosh. And they're like, oh, okay. So obviously the laws of science don't make any sense in this film. Fine. Marbles are too heavy, they're too light. Fine. It's really one of those films you do have to take your brains out. And this is the second time I've seen it, and I saw it at the cinema the first time. I remember enjoying it loads. I remember thinking it was nonsense, even as a whatever 10-year-old, whenever it came out. But and then when it's written by Michael Crichton, who wrote
Jurassic Park, I hadn't realised until the credits came up when I rewatched it this week. I was like, and I'd been thinking, this is really the same vibes of Jurassic Park. And then it was like, oh yeah, it's written by Michael Crichton. So there you go. Yeah.
I've never seen Jurassic Park because I consider it to be too frightening.
You've seen Twister.
Well, I mean, I think I know, but that's because I trusted the Twister to sort of elegantly or like not too gruesomely suck people into the sky, sort of like a big vacuum, and I thought I would be okay with that. My threshold for blood and stuff is very, very low. Like think sort of maybe a toddler or a small child, like a sickly, scared child. And I don't trust dinosaurs to do any elegant deaths. I think it would be, I don't trust dinosaurs full stop. But I just think it's too frightening. It's too scary to think about. Although, what's his name? Jeff Goldblum. He does make me want to watch it. And also the woman who's in it.
Laura Dern,
I love her. And do you know what? Also, I think that Helen Hunt and Laura Dern, queer icons, whether they acknowledge that as characters or it's in canon or anything, there's something about their whole vibe, their tank tops, their outfits, strong queer icons, and I love it.
Well, digging into a bit more about Laura Dern, she played Ellen DeGeneres' girlfriend in the TV show Ellen. And then she got kind of blacklisted because she's playing a gay character.
Yeah, it didn't work for a decade.
I know about Ellen, but I didn't know that Laura Dern was caught up in that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's obviously how nonsensical.
And now she's getting the sort of celebration she deserves, coming into the industry again and playing all these incredible high camp characters, and people are here for it this time around, and it's how it should be.
Helen, Twister.
So I thought I had seen this, but it appears I had not. I only knew very much of it, and I just never got around to it. I mean, we've already talked a lot about it, but it is mad. I've got a lot of time for Michael Crichton, big ER fan. Jerry from ER is features in this. And I like his kind of like mad science-y tech stuff. He was really, really into like tech. If you read any of his other books, or if you watch like Westworld, he's got a very like strong interest, defined interest. So yeah, I mean, flying cows, who doesn't love a flying cow, sorry. And I had no idea that Philip Seymour Hoffman was in this. Which, so it was a sad experience that watching it was, I just miss him. But also he looks like he's having a great time in it, and everyone's having a great time in it.
He's like a surfer tornado chaser, isn't he? He's like super happy about everything. He's like,
I've got a theory about his character in the film. I mean, not that this film should be overthought too much, but that Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, he's like an excited child about everything all the time. He's like making jokes and being really silly, and he's just like really over the top. But my theory is that his character represents internally what all of the scientists that are chasing the Twisters feel. Like, all of them are acting on he's the externalization of the inner child of all the other characters.
He's the inner science.
Yeah, nerd. He's what all of them have inside them, but without the external shell of a grown-up.
I love that. I think that's correct.
Well, I mean, he's always great in the film. But this reminded me, this is probably the first film I remember, I saw him in. I thought previously it was Along Came Polly, in which he's also, like, hilarious. He's probably, he's the best thing in the Along Came Polly.
By far.
So I echo what Hannah said, like, he was gone far too soon. He would be making some fantastic films, I'm sure, going forward. Both comedic and super serious. I mean, Kate, you said about a cast of 90s characters. Alan Rooker's one that stuck in my mind as Cameron from Ferris Bueller. Who else?
Oh, yes.
Who else were you thinking in there?
Do you know what? He's the main one I recognised and was able to place, mainly because I'd watched the first episode of Succession the night before. and I was still trying to work out where I knew the older version of him from. So when he came up in this film, I was like, I've got it, Ferris Bueller. I couldn't place any of the others, but I was astounded by how many very small cameos recognizable faces had. And they were all sort of blending into one because it was all just a lot of, you know, geeky looking white guys. And I loved that because it felt familiar even though I hadn't seen the film before. Yeah, but I loved that guy. And also, Ali, what were you going to say?
Well, I was only going to say that I felt exactly the same, that, like, almost every actor in it was a face I recognised, where I was like, oh, I know I've seen that person in loads of films. But most of them, I couldn't tell you their name. And it's not because I just don't – it's like I don't know their names. They're just actors that I've seen in loads of stuff. And it was actually kind of amazing.
For example.
Exactly. Like, all of them were people where you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that actor from loads of stuff.
Yeah, but I have to limit the amount of times I can sort of pause to try and place an actor because, unfortunately, this is going to be controversial for this audience, but my boyfriend doesn't really believe in watching movies. He thinks that, like, all of them are too long and it's just one plot and, you know, he'd rather watch a TV show or, if we're honest, probably a show about, you know, mushrooms or octopus or something. So I really, he likes, you know, facts and nature. He's just not really into fiction, which is a real friction point in our relationship. But, you know, in terms of the harmony of our household, I really have to ration the amount of pop culture trivia that I indulge in throughout the film. I also like to yell things at the screen when I realize that I've remembered someone from something and say, is he gonna die? Is he gonna die? Is he gonna die? All through. So I really have to sort of tone down my reactions like that. So I did not stop and try to work out where all the 90s white tech dudes came from, but I was very pleased to see their little faces.
I like to always Lois Smith as Aunt May. Aunt May's Spider-Man, isn't it?
Jeremy Davis is in it as well. Saving Private Ryan, Lost. I think he's probably more well known as. He was one of
those. He was the scientist in Lost. His Daniel something.
Yeah, I think that was his name.
Yeah, yeah. He was the one person where I was like, I do actually know that he was in Lost, but I don't know his name and won't learn it.
Could anyone tell me the actor who plays my favourite character, and I took her to be a subplot, which I named in my head, Melissa Has a Very Bad Day, the woman who's trying to marry Bill Paxton. She looked vaguely familiar as well, and I loved her.
She was great. Well,
her name's Jamie Gertz.
Oh, is it Jamie Gertz?
Incredible. Yeah, Mamie, without the E on the
end.
I'll
be calling her Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie.
Yeah. Well, I thought when that scene where she was trying to conduct a reproductive therapy session in the back of a car as they were driving towards a Twister, and she didn't really understand. She also thought that chasing storms was a metaphor. I just thought that was outstanding comedic writing and acting. I loved her very much, but she did have a very bad day.
She did have a very bad day. And it was kind of heartbreaking when they split up and she kind of said, we both knew it was going to work out anyway. So you kind of think, well, good, actually.
And she said, I'm not that upset.
Yeah.
which is heartbreaking in its in itself, kind of, that she was going to get married to this man and she's not even that sad.
I was going to say that I thought her character was, even though they're a very different character in terms of their personalities and stuff, but I felt that her character was the lawyer of Jurassic Park, like her, like a person who, Kate, you won't know this, but there's this lawyer character in Jurassic Park, and they're the character who has... did not realise what they were getting themselves into. And that's their role, to be like this kind of bright-eyed person who like didn't realise the day they were going to have.
Why is it called extreme? Why are you called extreme? What's this massive statement here?
Exactly.
Is it actually a tornado?
I know. I found myself relating to her general sense of bafflement with the world.
And like,
I don't know what that says about me, but
a car nearly lands on her from out of the tornado. Like,
she's got like, I don't know what the word is. Like, she's got like kind of backbone, you know. She fully like confronts Helen Hunt in the diner. She's like, "You're still in love with him, aren't you?" And Helen Hunt, she has no comeback. I thought, Melissa, she's good. Yeah. She's going to be all right. You feel like she's going to be all right, don't you?
Definitely. I'm very glad she survived. I would have been devastated if she got sucked up into the sky.
Spoiler alert, but not like the lawyer.
Oh.
I feel like that. I don't know if that's allowed or not, but I feel like if people don't know what happens in Jurassic Park at this point,
then there's no hope.
Yeah, exactly. No offense, Kate.
None taken. I'm happy to have it spoiled. I'm not going to watch it on account of the dinosaurs.
Could you like not watch it with a buddy? Like, and they could go, cover your eyes now. And
okay. If you can tell me when I need to dive behind a pillow.
Okay, first 5 minutes is quite torturous. And then after that's quite good, and it's a bit more torturous.
There is a little bit of gore. I mean, I would consider it very low level, but based on what you've said, Kate, I think you might need a warning for it. There is a bit of gore.
It's impending doom. There's a bit of
limbs getting torn off and that sort of thing.
Yeah. See, that's the stuff that I'm not into. But
the lawyer literally gets eaten by a T-Rex off the toilet. Oh, I'm not allowed to say that. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
It's okay. It's Jurassic Park. I'm really like
the spoilers.
Cut me out.
The embargo has expired. I have a question. I wrote down the silliest exchange I think I've heard between two movie characters, and I want to verify that it's real, because I feel that if it is in fact actually in the movie and I didn't mishear it, then other people will know about it. Because I feel that when Helen and Bill, I can't remember their character names, were in a hut full of knives, which is, you know, not a great place to be during a twister, she said, "Who are these people?" And he said, "I don't think so."
Yes, I think that exchange did happen.
And I was like, what is going on?
So apparently, in the trivia, this film was not meant to be as child-friendly, and there was quite a lot of swearing and possibly references. So I think there's a lot of bits in it where there's some really bad dubbing, where there's like swearing,
really?
And they've dubbed it over, or they've edited it slightly weirdly. So if you look into it, it was originally meant to be a bit more adult, and then something happened and it became more, they wanted to get the PG, probably, yeah. And I wonder if there's something where there's been like, she's kind of says something adulty, and they edit it in there.
I wish I could watch
that bit again and see if her lips move differently, because apparently there's some bits, and there's also apparently there was a scene that went out to some kind of audience somewhere where Philip Seymour Hoffman actually exposes himself through like a leg of his shorts, and
wow.
His character was a little bit on the edge of being
accidentally,
that guy.
But it made it, made it through.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, with Melissa, I thought it's been a bit too close to her at some point. So I was like, PSA.
I think the vibe going into it was very different to what actually ended up on screen.
Which, do you know what? I do actually feel, now that you've said that, like there were some saucier scenes missing, because my alternative title for this film is Sexual Tension on a Windy Day, because I feel that they were able, like there's a part where he is putting on her seatbelt, I don't know why. And it's, I don't know how you can sensually put on a seatbelt, but he does. And I feel that maybe they had to do all these mundane acts sexily to get, you know, the rating they wanted. And perhaps, you know, on the editing room floor are some much saucier, raunchier scenes between Helen and Bill. Perhaps. I don't know.
Well, should we head to the scores, guys?
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have included fellow Stripped Media family members Martin and Sam from Song by Song, and Kobe from Flixwatcher, and Dave from The Wire Stripped. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
Welcome to the patented Flixwatcher scores. All of the scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places, and we'll start with you, please, Arlie, with your recommendability.
Well, it being one of my favourite films of all time, I would have to give it a 5.
Kate, first time watch?
First time watch, I enjoyed it enough, and on the strength of Helen Hunt's tank top alone, I would say 4.5.
Helen?
I mean, this film is mad.
You're actually speechless.
I'm just trying to think, like, how would I explain it? What kind of, like, tick boxes would that person I'm speaking to need to have for me to go, this is your film? It's kind of unusual because there is, at one time, a lot of action and there's a lot going on. There's cows that go through a house. But then there's other bits where they're just chasing wind and... there's not much going on there.
How dare you? How dare you?
I want more action. And it's
more
action, less talky
bits. Or a greater variety of action.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Maybe.
They do Chase. Make 4 separate attempts on the science on the twisters. So.
Yeah, it's a good job they built more of one of those Dorothy things. So it's kind of like a weird, it's a very strange film. I think it's got lots of kind of value, but probably isn't going to be everyone's cup of tea. So I'm going to go for a strong 3.5.
I'm going to go 5 in this.
Whoa.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of it makes no sense. Like, the physics makes no sense. Sometimes a car hubcap will fire someone at literally Mach 1 and just raise them. Make a little scratchings for it. But then at the same time, car will be lifted up and smashed on the ground whilst 2 people are holding onto a bridge. And, you know, you... And I think it also depends on the day you watch it as well as to whether you're going to enjoy it.
Sunday's a good day for it. Sunday.
Yeah.
Recommend it on a Sunday.
So I think watch it. I will have no idea as to whether you're going to like it or not, but have a go.
It's silly and it is entertaining. So I think when you find yourself in the mood for that, Twister's a good film to watch.
Yeah.
And also, like, I have a quite recent policy of just not watching anything that will disturb me enough to not sleep. And this is very safe for that. It's not distressing in any way. It's surprisingly wholesome.
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was a box ticking thing. When they said there's 4 Dorothys, you knew they're going to use all 4 of them. When she didn't sign the divorce paper at the start, it's like, oh, they're going to get back together. You know exactly where you are with this film. You know Cary Elwes is going to die. And any of the bad guys were never going to do the thing properly because they're the bad guys. You're in the same pair of hands here, aren't you, with this, with this film, literally from the start. So, you know, it's great. Repeat viewing score, Arlie.
Well, I have repeat viewed it many times. I don't know if I should, like, temper my feelings... Try to take my childhood love out of it.
Sure.
Shall I just rate it based on my own?
Go with your heart. Okay. Go with your heart.
Okay. For me, it is a 5 due to the fact that I have rewatched it endless numbers of times over my life.
Kate?
I, having only watched it 24 hours ago, but my level of enthusiasm for things I like is higher than the usual human being. So already I'm going to give it a 3.8 because I really feel that on the strength of that line about it being windy and also the scene where Melissa is conducting a therapy session in the backseat of a car, I could, and also the insult, he's a corporate kiss butt man. Yeah, I'd rewatch it for those three things alone.
Helen?
Having only watched it fairly recently, I'm not going to rush out and watch it again. And it's quite long. I think it could easily have been a sneaky 90-minute film. But that said, there are some classic lines. I think I'm just trying to go back to one where they say, oh, that was it. They're in the truck and they say cow, and Joe says another cow, and he goes, actually, I think that was the same one.
Did that cow go like from left to right and then go from right to left?
I think that is the implication, yes.
I don't know, there's just moments like that which you're like, well, you've got to go back, haven't you? I'm not in a rush. I did get a lot from it. How likely am I going to go back? I'll go for a two, just because it's very fresh, and I don't there would need to be quite a big gap, I think, for me to return.
Yeah, I'm going to go for two as well. I will watch it again. But this is no like Jurassic Park for me, where I'm thinking, shit, I'm not seeing Jurassic Park for a few minutes. Should I put it on? But it's that kind of, it kind of fills that void. For whatever reason, I can't get Jurassic Park, and Twister's there on the shelf in the random Airbnb somewhere that doesn't have Wi-Fi, so I can't get Netflix. Then I'll put Twister on. That's fine. It'll do the job. Small screen score, Harley.
I think that this film is not great. I would not recommend watching it on a phone. Absolutely not. My main reason for thinking this is not a great small screen film is the sound. It is a very, very noisy film. And I think the sensory, you know, combination of all the action that you're watching with actually the sound design of this film, which is very chaotic and noisy, I think it would be quite difficult to watch on a small screen. I do think this is much better suited to a bigger screen because of the sensory overload you kind of get. So I think I would rate it, I'll give it a two, because if you had nowhere else to watch it, I would still recommend watching it. But I don't think, for me, it's not the best on a small screen.
Kate?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of sensory overload, I think it would be too much on a very big screen. I watched a movie once about climbing Mount Everest on an IMAX screen, and it was way too much for me.
Was that film Everest?
Yeah, probably. Very difficult name to remember. I would recommend watching this on a medium-sized television, which is what I watched it on. Just compromise. You wouldn't get the full effect of it on a small screen, certainly not a phone. I've never watched a film on a phone, but I think it would be too much on a cinema, to be frank. In a cinema.
So what's that score?
Oh,
then?
Yeah, I've got it. I've always forget about numbers. Three?
Helen?
I agree with you, Kate, on the medium-sized TV. I think that's a good size. I'm not sure whether some of the effects would hold up on a cinema screen these days, but I think the communal act of watching it with other people, I think if you're going to watch this, then watch it with at least one other person, because it's more fun and you can all like laugh at it and go, this film's really weird.
Yeah.
And have
this would be good in pinch shots.
Yeah, I think watching it with people like Arlie who love it and it's their favourite film, and I don't know, do they could throw cows and get it like cows and throw them about, get some inflatable cows? I don't know. It's an idea.
That's a great idea.
Why not do it and get some hair dryers?
You just planned my next birthday party, thank you.
Put a lot of fans in the room.
I'm going to give it a four because I still think it's good on that medium-sized TV, but if there's an opportunity to watch it with a group of people or have your own Twister-themed birthday party cinema expedition, then do that.
And do a drinking game where every time they refer to quote unquote the science, you have to take a shot.
I love it when they try to explain science. Have you ever seen an F4? What about an F5? The finger of God. And they explain what the F means in that. And my favorite line was when the Twister comes down, it sucks itself back up. And it's like, oh, it's all finished. Oh, no, it's backfilling. What? It's one of those things where I think, should I check this out to see if backfilling of tornadoes is really a thing? But also, I don't want to
know. You don't
want
to know. Yeah.
Those are the real ratings for size of tornado.
I thought they would be.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's maybe the only accurate thing about the film.
There has to be some semblance of
sense. F5 equals bad is probably accurate science. Yeah. But other than that, no.
And I hope there's a documentary out there, something called The Real Twister, where we do see storm chasers and see, you know, if they actually do follow storms, and if it's people into it, storm that go, it's going left.
Yeah, that's the best bit, is that there's a guy that Bill Paxton just has the instinct that he just knows where the storm is going to be, and that is what makes him a better scientist.
Okay. Sideswiper, take that road. Look at the CGI graphics. I think that's one of the reasons I went to cinema to watch it, because, you know, as a kid, I was like, I can't believe I'm going to see a flying cow on the screen. This is ridiculous. And I still think they, for the large part, because that's what they're doing in Jurassic Park as well, is they sparingly use the CGI, and wherever it can do, it's the real thing. And some parts where there's a flying lorry in the air, it's flying. When it lands, it's like the real lorry, you can tell. And I think it broadly holds up. The twisters would be done a lot better now, I think. But yeah, I think it's good. I'd like to see this at a pinch of salt, but also I think at home on my medium-sized TV, it's good. So that's going to be a skillful score. Engagement score, Barley.
I will admit to looking at my phone a little bit while I was watching it, re-watching it this week, because, and obviously I say this with love, I love this film so much, it is a little bit repetitive, just the number of times that they go chasing different tornadoes to try to achieve the science.
I love how the tornadoes split at one point as well.
Yeah. Oh, and then they say, they're sisters.
They're sisters.
It's one of those ones where it's really entertaining, but it's also quite low stakes just as a film because it's so silly. And if you look at your phone and you look back, exactly the same thing is happening as when you picked up your phone to have a little scroll on Instagram. So I think I will give it, and this isn't to take away from how entertaining it is, like a 3 maybe for engagement, because I think you won't lose much, to be honest, by having a cheeky look at your phone while you are watching it.
Kate?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at my phone because I was making notes for the purpose of this podcast, and they're next to me, and I have written such things as, why would people live in a place with so many tornadoes?
I mean, that's generally what I feel about a lot of things. It terrifies me that people
do. Exactly. I've also written enormous laptop, because I thought that was a highlight. But I do agree with Ali that, I mean, it is pretty repetitive, and I did find myself, well, my boyfriend and I were watching it, we were just chatting about how funny it is without even bothering to press pause. And as Helen said, it is like criminally long. I do think every film should have to be 90 minutes and under. So I think you can afford to wander out and get a snack, which I definitely did, you know, take your dog out for a wee, which I definitely did. I would give this rating, I would say, is a 2.
Helen?
I'm going to give it a solid 3. I mean, this is the first time I was watching it. So, I mean, I could kind of guess what was coming up, but I didn't know. So, but I did kind of get sucked into the IMDb trivia on this, because there's a lot, and there's kind of like loads of weird stuff about the filming and things like that. So, yeah, a solid 3 for engagement.
Yeah, and good use of the word sucked in.
I'm going to write down the middle, 2.5. I think this is one quite easily, you're lying on the sofa, if you nap for 5 minutes, then and woke up and think, no, I'll just kind of go with it. There's no need to go past back 5 minutes, because, as you said, the repetitive nature, you know, if you've seen the first one again, then, you know, another 2 or 3 are going to come up soon. So it's absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. That gives us an overall score of 3.39375.
That's pretty solid.
It's pretty solid. I thought it was going to be higher. Where did engagement score was where it let itself down? Recommendability was super high with 4.5 overall. Yeah, everyone watch it. They know it's going to be, you know, a schlocky film. Let's head to Twitter, guys. And to everyone who's listening, if this is your first time, or if you haven't followed us on Twitter yet, do follow us. We are at FlixWatcherPod. One of the main reasons to follow us is because we put a shout out before the recording asking for your opinion with a tweet like this. We're reviewing Twister with Arlie Huntington and Kate I. Lever from Who's a Good Dog. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and a score out of 5 stars for an on-air shout out on Twitter. Arlie, do you want to pick a review?
Yeah, so I've got Stephen Lockridge, who described the film as batshit insane, no real plot, but a lot of fun, and always nice to see a young Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he gave it 3 tornado emojis.
I saw that before. I mean, I can never age Philip Seymour Hoffman. I have no idea how old he is then.
It's true. Yeah.
That's true.
Plutarch Haven speaking, looks the same age to me. Because he's always a bit chubby and dishevelled and, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it was great PSH performance. Kate, do you want to say next one?
Yeah, so I have got Lee Thomas, who says, a decent Sunday afternoon film. Some of the effects don't hold up, but who's bothered about that when you've got Hunt, Paxton, PSH, and the dread pirate Roberts chasing tornadoes? And he's also employed an emoji rating system. This time it is 3 flying cows for one of the most 90s movies ever made.
It is very 90s.
Fair. Yes. Yeah. The fashion, the sunglasses, incredible. The hair.
Lee Thomas is a frequent contributor. Thank you very much for all the times you've given us your thoughts on the film. It's always a pleasure. So, Arlie and Kate, can you sign off by letting everyone know where we can find you online and say goodbye to the listeners?
Yes. Thanks for having us, guys. This was very fun. I am at Arlie Adlington on Twitter, or my website is arlie.me, where you can find all my different audio work that I do.
And I'm Kate Lever. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, Kate I. Lever. The I stands for Imogen, which makes my initials K-I-L. and some of my work is on katelever.com.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, guys, for joining. It's been a pleasure to relive the most 90s film in the world ever.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having
you.
Us.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.